listener production.
Wall Street ends lower as investors take issue with bank earnings.
And the ASX is set to fall on Monday as the spectre of Middle East war weighs on shares.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Monday, the 15th of April. Welcome to the CommSec Market Update. Ryan, it was a busy night on Friday in the United States. There was a whole range of issues for investors to focus on, but the ultimate result was that sellers were able to make quite an impression. We had the S&P 500 end the day down by 1.5%. The Dow Jones was down 1.2%. NASDAQ down 1.6%, and that'll translate to a weaker open as far as the local share market's concerned. The futures are telling us that we'll be down by around 0.6%. Shall we start with the bigger picture? There was the concern around stability in the Middle East.
Well, Tom, intentionally or otherwise, Iran's strikes on Israel have combined maximum international attention with minimal actual impact over the weekend. They fired more than 300 drones and missiles without any reported fatalities or much physical damage, but the immediate impact will be on oil prices and they'll inflame those inflation concerns. Initially, what we did see was the conflict focused on the Red Sea and, of course, Gaza. But the worry now is that it broadens out into a broader Middle Eastern conflict directly between Iran and Israel. And the big concern now is whether the retaliation from Israel is very, very forceful, and that would then break out into a more broader war. So it largely depends on the US's ability now to contain Israeli aggression, if you would call it that, or at least response. If we do see a full-blown escalation, this could result in a global recession.
Indeed. And I suppose if you wanted to be cynical about this, the aim of the act or some of the actors in this story was to draw the United States into this conflict. And it seems that incrementally, one way or the other, the tactics seem to be working. In an election year, this brings up a whole range of flashpoints that could make the bigger picture far, far more challenging. But to your point, smaller level, we saw both interest rates move lower. We saw the 10-year government bond on Friday in the United States fall by 6 basis points to 4.52 in yield terms. So in a week where we saw hotter inflation numbers, that perhaps is not the intuitive response that you would have expected. Although over the course of the week, you did see yields up. 2-year government bond down by 7 points on the session to 489, 452 for a 10-year.
Well, what we're seeing in the bond market at the moment, Tom, is concerns around the inflation backdrop. We had the nasty surprise of a third straight month of sticky inflation last week. The market shock was accompanied by a wave of fresh shorting positions. Let's not forget, at the beginning of the year, market was expecting 6 rate cuts from the US Federal Reserve or 1.5 percentage points of easing. Traders are now doubtful there'll be even half a point of reductions. Some are saying there won't be any reductions this year. And what we did see last week was US Treasuries lose 0.6%, down 2.6% so far this year. And that's a give back of more than half of the 4.1% gain they posted in 2023.
There's a complex picture at play in terms of US Treasury yields at the moment. On the one hand, you have that specter of rate cuts being priced out. And then on the other hand, you have the very real threat of an issue globally in terms of geopolitical stability. Where do you fall at this stage?
Well, I think at the end of the day, the likelihood is that bond yields will lift back up to at least 4.75% if you look at the 10-year. And that's because what we are seeing at the moment is still that disinflationary pulse stalling effectively. So we have seen traders acclimatizing to the prospect that the last mile of disinflation is being tough to achieve. Just on that inflation front, how investors are playing this situation in the share market. Of course, we have seen a sell-off, a significant one, over the course of last week. In fact, the S&P 500 notched its biggest weekly percentage loss since January. What we have seen conversely, though, is S&P 500 energy shares up 17% in 2024, roughly doubling the broader index's year-to-date return. Of course, the crude oil price is up 20% year-to-date due to the unexpectedly strong US economy and worries over that broadening Middle East conflict. Some investors also believe rising energy shares could be a hedge against US inflation.
In terms of what we saw with the bank earnings, I suppose in broader terms, what this highlighted to me, Ryan, was previously the markets were prepared to make some exceptions, accommodations, see through various elements that perhaps didn't line up with their narrative. But within the bank earnings on Friday, the smallest blemish seemed to be punished quite severely. We had JP Morgan Chase, for example, down significantly on Friday, down by 6% in weekly terms. It was down 7%. Morgan Stanley fell 7% in weekly terms. Goldman Sachs down by around 5%. Bank of America down by around 3.5%. So banks, unsurprisingly, are ground zero for this readjustment in terms of the interest rate outlook.
Both JP Morgan and Wells Fargo both reported net interest income, the earnings they generate from lending that miss analyst estimates on Friday. And that's why both those shares were down. So we did see JP Morgan Chase, the biggest US bank by assets, posting a 6% profit increase, but its net interest income fell short of expectations. Its shares were down 6.5%, as you mentioned, Tom. Wells Fargo dipped 0.4%, not down much, but its profits fell 7% as net interest income dropped on weak borrowing demand, and Citigroup posted a loss after spending on employee severance and deposit insurance impacted its stock price, which slipped 1.7%.
So the tone has been established, and that is if you're not passing muster, you're getting a rigorous birching from investors. Let's quickly have a look at what went on as far as European markets were concerned. It was a bit of a mixed picture on that front. Almost surprising to see the FTSE up to the extent that it was. It was up by almost 1%.
Yes, so we did get some UK economic data on Friday. Britain's economy increased by just 0.1% in monthly terms in February, but at least it's heading in the right direction. We have seen the UK mired in recession towards the end of last year. So certainly we are seeing some improvement there in the United Kingdom economy. What drove European stocks on Friday was basic resources. They jumped 2.4% to a one-year high. Copper prices jumped to the highest level since June 2022. And we also saw the energy sector lift 2.4% to its highest level since 2008, owing to those higher oil prices and geopolitical risks.
Yes, so that under normal circumstances might be a positive as far as the local share market's concerned, the performance of those European miners, but you would tend to think that what happened on Wall Street thereafter will probably overshadow, if not cancel that. So as I said at the outset, the futures are indicating that we'll be down by around 0.6% when we kick off. Energy stocks, you would think, would be the bright spot in today's performance.
Yes, so the US oil price is up by 0.8% to $85.66 a barrel on those geopolitical risk escalation. We also saw gold futures also hit record highs, up 0.1% to $2374.10 an ounce. The spot gold price was over 2,400 at record highs. And iron ore futures continued to lift, up 6% last week, Tom, up 1.3% to $106.05 a ton on Friday. So energy and mining stocks could perform well in Australia today, but of course the banking sector may come under some pressure after some of those results in the US.
Let's have a quick peep at what's coming down the pipe. We have got some Chinese growth figures to look at tomorrow. Tonight in Europe, we've got some industrial production numbers out of Germany, which will be quite valuable. And arguably, the manufacturing numbers coming out of the US will be valuable because there seems to be a fillip where US manufacturing activity is concerned. But really, it comes down to the employment figures locally on Thursday as far as the domestic highlights concerned, in addition to the big miners delivering quarterlies.
Well, Tom, market consensus is for jobs growth of just 10,000 in March for Australia. That's after that outsized 116,500 job gain in February. The unemployment rate could tick up from 3.7% to 3.9%. So that will have implications for Reserve Bank pricing this week. The other thing to note as well is US retail sales come out in the next couple of days. Growth of about 0.4% spending is expected for the month of March.
The Aussie dollar was marked down rather aggressively, as you might imagine, under the circumstances, a gravitation towards the haven quality of the greenback. So having closed at around 65.2 US cents Friday afternoon, we currently have the greenback trading around 64.6 US cents.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a wonderful week.
This podcast is prepared, approved and distributed in Australia by Commonwealth Securities Limited, ABN 60067254399, AFSL 238814. The information does not take into consideration your objectives, financial situation or needs. Consider the appropriateness of the information before acting and, if necessary, seek appropriate professional advice. Listener.